The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And the main thing that's happened the past week is we've lost a bunch of candidates. If you went out of town and came back, you'd think that the rapture happened, right? You're like, where did everybody go? So we've only got three left, and only two of them you're actually allowed to mention. So we've got Bernie Sanders, we've got Joe Biden, and of course Tulsi Gabbard is still in it to win it. I'm just kidding. She's got like one or two delegates, but she's still there. Why, though? Why is she still in the race? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because she's got principles. And she's got money. You know, people like her. They're donating to her campaign, unlike some of the other candidates. And I'm going to be talking about Tulsi for a little bit. And I know a bunch of you guys don't like her, but the reason you don't like her is because people have been telling you that she's bad. She's actually a very good candidate. I disagree with her economic policy. Look, she is a progressive underneath it all. But really, I guess the only thing I like about her is her anti-war message. And she's a really good-looking person. I mean, wouldn't you like to look at her for the next 4 years as a president? I mean, if we vote on men based on their hair, then we should vote on women for the same reasons, too. So we've got Tulsi Gabbard, who's gorgeous. Have Amy Klobuchar. I mean, come on. I'd rather look at a block of wood than Amy Klobuchar. We got Elizabeth Warren, who's going to nag you to death. Hey, you want a beer? No, I don't want a beer. But where Elizabeth Warren has gone now, she's totally off the reservation. She's not in the contest anymore. And before I go on, I guess I should specify this, that when I suggest that people should elect their candidates based on how good-looking they are, you've got to know that I'm joking. I'm kidding, guys. All right? Now, the reason I'm saying this is because in London, the mayor there is suggesting that misogyny be a hate crime, and then says that we should adjust our attitudes towards women. Attitudes. So it's not even like you're going, oh, that's a woman, I hate women, and you know, let me beat on them or something like that. He's saying that your attitudes should be different, and if not, they should be able to, like, put you away. You realize, of course, that in England, if you tweet the wrong message, they'll throw you in jail, right? A lady got arrested for misgendering someone on Twitter. Misgendering someone. What that means is that somebody wants to be called they or them instead of he or she. And if you don't call them what they want you to, they'll investigate you for malicious communication. Now, look, I don't care what somebody wants to be called. I don't. I'll call them whatever they want me to call them. But to arrest you for it, to have the government come and put you away, it's insane. And speaking of insanity, let's get back to Elizabeth Warren. And if you recall, a couple weeks back, Elizabeth Warren was bagging on Bernie, saying that he's a misogynist, and that he doesn't think a woman could win, despite that he's always, you know, gone on air for years, being very pro-female and, you know, to the point of letting girls just take his microphone away while he's talking. And I pointed out that Elizabeth Warren, simultaneously to this happening, said that the reason that she's dropped in the polls is because of misogyny. So Elizabeth Warren said that Bernie Sanders is a sexist for saying that a woman can't win. And then at the same time, blamed her losing on misogyny, therefore proving his point. But I'm going to let a clip play of her making a statement to the press after she dropped out. This first question is regarding an endorsement and what guidance you'd offer her supporters.
What guidance would you give to your supporters who don't know who to support now?
Well, let's take a deep breath and spend a little time on that. We don't have to decide that this minute.
And I wonder what your message would be to the women and girls who feel like we're left with two white men to decide between.
I know. One of the hardest parts of this is all those baby promises and all those little girls who are going to have to wait 4 more years. That's going to be hard.
Hey, idiot. Tulsi Gabbard, a woman, is still in the race, and a woman of color, no less. So by these own insane people's goalposts, they should be mentioning her and propping her up. But instead, they tear her down at every turn. Anytime they can say something bad about Tulsi Gabbard, they do. You know, Tulsi Gabbard, when Bernie Sanders was running the first time, Tulsi Gabbard went against the establishment and endorsed Bernie Sanders. Oh, they loved her then. These progressives loved her then. But now they hate her. Why? Because these so-called progressives are a bunch of sellouts. Bernie Sanders turned around and he endorses Hillary Clinton. Elizabeth Warren, instead of endorsing Bernie Sanders, who aligns with her espoused values, turns around and also endorses Hillary Clinton. And we found out later it's because she had the chance for a VP spot. Hillary had contacted her. These guys don't really care about the garbage that they say they care about getting a woman in there and a person of color in there and all that other junk. They care about power and that's it. And if you really look at it, as much trash as they talk against Republicans, it's the Democrats that have gotten Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, two old white men, as Elizabeth Warren just confirmed, to the top of the heap. And you notice that it's always the old white people complaining about old white people. I got another one for you. So here's Chris O'Donnell. And when I first saw the headline for this clip, I was like, okay, well, he's going to eat some humble pie, or, you know, I'm interested to see who he's going to endorse or who he wants to win. I thought I was going to see something intelligent, but instead, but it's Chris O'Donnell. So here's what he says.
This is one of those days when you wonder what America is capable of. Not in a good way. It's not the feeling we had watching President Kennedy win the election in 1960 and realize all together at once as a country that, yes, a Roman Catholic could be elected president of the United States, which was not believed possible until John Kennedy did it, until JFK won the presidency by less than 1% of the vote. You could feel American progress in that moment. You could feel a much more dramatic step in American progress when Barack Obama won the Iowa caucuses in 2008 in the overwhelmingly white state of Iowa. And then, as tears of joy fell from millions of eyes around the country, Barack Obama, joined by his family, gave a victory speech in Grant Park in Chicago the night he won the presidency. Those were the tears of joy for a jolt of progress that many of us thought we would not live to see. A black man standing in a park, named for the general who won the war that ended slavery in this country, accepting victory in a presidential campaign. You had a right to feel then that women were next. You had a right to feel that surely a woman could break through the barrier blocking them from the presidency. At the beginning of this presidential campaign, you had a right to believe, as I did, that it was possible that the Democratic Convention would nominate a woman for president and a woman for vice president, because the most qualified field of women candidates in history were running for president. 4 United States senators, 2 of them representing the 2 biggest states with Democratic senators, California and New York. The other 2 from states that had delivered Democratic nominees for president before, Minnesota and Massachusetts. And now they are all gone from the presidential campaign. And you have a right to wonder what America is capable of. You have a right to wonder what it takes for a woman to win the presidency.
Hey, idiot, Tulsi Gabbard is still in the race. And you know what's funny? So in the last week, we've lost Tom Steyer is out of the race. Pete Buttigieg is out of the race. Amy Klobuchar is out of the race. Mike Bloomberg, Mini Mike, has dropped out of the race. And, of course, Elizabeth Warren dropped out of the race. So who have we got left? we've got Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and Tulsi Gabbard. Now, by their own standards, Tulsi Gabbard is who they should be getting behind, especially since they agree with her on so much. I'm saying so much. I should just say everything, because it's practically everything. These Democrats agree with Tulsi Gabbard on so much, and yet, every time they mention her, what do they mention? Oh, she met with Assad. What? She's a Russian agent. She's a major right now in the U.S. military. So they're doing nothing but smearing her. A veteran woman of color. Isn't that interesting? And all of that flack is coming from the Democrats, not the Republicans. Well, at least she'll finally get up on the debate stage because, you know, the standards to get on the stage are if you have any delegates. So you know, they originally said if you have a certain percentage in the polls and you had a certain amount of donations, then you could get into the race. And the polls were, they had to be DNC-approved polls, too. They couldn't just be any polls. They had to be the polls that the Democratic National Committee chose. And, you know, they tightened the rules so that you had a lot of complaints because you had people like, you know, Tulsi Gabbard and Cory Booker and Andrew Yang. You know, and they were having trouble making the debate stage. And so they were saying that they were stifling voices because if you don't get on stage, then people don't hear your ideas. And then it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. If the media doesn't think you're viable, they don't give you airtime, and that makes you not viable. So then they tightened the rules and they said, okay, so you got to be able to have, you know, a delegate. Well, Tulsi Gabbard has her delegate. I think maybe two, which is not many. You need 1,000, 1,900 and something to win, I believe. Nearly 2,000 delegates. And, you know, so the chances are slim. But a lot of people didn't vote for Tulsi Gabbard because they liked Elizabeth Warren and they liked the other progressive candidates that were there. And also, you know, she pulls a lot of Trump supporters also. I mean, she's pulling me, right? Because of her anti-war stance, which is why a lot of people supported Trump, even though he's kind of loud, right? He's kind of a bully. You know, I hate that word, bully. It used to mean something. It used to mean somebody who throws their weight around, stuff like that. And that's the context I mean it in. But since the left there's an expression that the left ruins everything that it touches. And I don't go for that, you know, Democrat Republican fight so much, I hope, as many people do. But they did ruin the word bully. Because, like, if you just make a counterpoint, even if it's the most mild counterpoint possible, they say that you're bullying them. If you just disagree with someone, you're bullying them. So the word bully has kind of lost its impact as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, point is, everyone's going, okay, so Tulsi Gabbard qualifies for the debate stage. But guess what? They have raised it again so that she can't qualify. Now, I could understand before, maybe. I mean, they did lower it for Mike Bloomberg. So it's not like they won't let people in. I mean, it's more obvious, isn't it, that they'll let people in that they want to get in. Oh, Mike Bloomberg's been donating a lot of money to us. We better let him in on the debate stage, even though he has, like, zero support. And now there's only three people left in the race. So you'd figure it'd be no trouble to give each of them time on a debate stage. But nope. They're cutting out the woman of color, as they would say, by their own standards. The liberal media is cutting out the woman of color. Well, and you'd figure that these other candidates would fight for her, right? So shouldn't Elizabeth Warren be saying, well, now that I'm out, our chances of getting a woman elected this time around are slim, so I'm going to support Tulsi Gabbard, if for no other reason than that she's a woman and should have her voice heard. Why are you trying to silence women like you silenced me on the floor of Congress? So, of course, she's not going to say that. It's funny to even imagine her saying that because she's full of it. Chris O'Donnell should be up there saying, now we only have one slim hope if we want a woman to get elected, and that's Tulsi Gabbard. But he won't say that because he's full of it. And the same goes for every single person in the Democrat Party who complains that there's only two old white men left up there and would support a warmonger like Hillary Clinton, who I think is pretty obvious. I don't think I'm making a statement out of turn here. I think everybody could get behind this. Someone like Hillary Clinton who doesn't care about anybody except herself, in my opinion, and someone like Tulsi Gabbard, who goes up on stage and says nothing but peace and love and happiness towards everyone, except for maybe, what was that lady's name who she destroyed on stage? Kamala Harris. I swear, you can go on YouTube and you'll find clips of this lady singing with a ukulele, Imagine, John Lennon's Imagine. I mean, this lady is not a war propagandist, and that's why they don't want her. I'd like to point out that hashtag Let Tulsi Speak, as of yesterday, last night, was trending number 2 on Twitter. Let's see if the Twitter people let that continue. They're known to suppress top trending hashtags. And I hope that that has been proven enough times now that that can no longer be considered a conspiracy. It used to be a conspiracy that Twitter or Facebook or that these multi-billion-dollar media companies were suppressing information. But I think that's now common knowledge. Can I not be labeled a conspiracy theorist for saying something like that? I think it's proven. Isn't it funny? You know, they banned people like Alex Jones for his conspiracies. And, you know, I'm not a Alex Jones guy. I don't look at him with any sort of frequency. I very occasionally check out what he's saying. But the things that I've seen him say, and again, I don't follow the guy at all, but the few things that I've heard him say have been real. That now, when I say that things that I've heard him say that have been real, I'm talking about the things coming out of his own mouth. I'm not talking about the things that the media say about him, that he said that the Parkland shootings were all fake and phony. He might have said that, but I didn't see him directly say that. I don't doubt that he said that. But I'm saying that the things that I've seen him say seem accurate. Although I think I do remember seeing some clips of him saying things about, like, there are aliens among us or lizard people or something like that. So if he did that, then, yeah, I don't believe that stuff. But, I mean, we do have Hillary Clinton, though. So let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater, as they say. But, you know, even if he is a massive conspiracy theorist, then you can't look at him as entertainment, you know? I mean, I think he said that he plays a character, and I understand that. When I'm on air like this, I don't talk like this to my friends. Do I talk like this to people? I do. I'm not playing a character? This is me? No. Are you sure? I think I'm playing a character. I don't come up in the morning and start talking like this to everybody. Hey, guys, let me tell you it's about the news for the day. But I do think it's funny that they banned people like Alex Jones, and yet Brian Williams is still on air. You know, the Russia conspiracists are still on air. Rachel Maddow is still on air. And not only are they still on air, even after this stuff has been debunked, that obviously Trump is not a Russian asset, they still get to go on air and say stuff like this. Here, let me play something that that's been making the rounds, and it's hilarious. This is Brian Williams, who you realize anchored the nightly news for years, and Mara Gay, who is on the New York Times editorial board. And listen to this garbage that they espouse. Actually, let me set this clip up first. So this tweet went viral. This tweet was, here's what the tweet says. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads. The U.S. population is 327 million. He could have given each American $1 million and still had money left over. I feel like a $1 million check would be life-changing for most people. Yet he wasted it all on ads and still lost. So that's the tweet. Okay, so probably most of you have caught this already. If you spend $500 million on ads and there's 327 million in the U.S., that means that you can give each person a little bit over a dollar. And her tweet here says, incorrectly, he could have given each American $1 million. I don't think it takes much to figure out that that's incorrect. Now, if you're bad at math, I'm not going to get mad at you. And a lot of people have been making fun of people for not being able to catch that calculation error. Okay. I don't think that's a big deal in itself, other than the fact that, number one, it was made by someone who writes bylines for the Washington Post. Okay, and she got so much flack for it, she actually protected her tweets and writes, now in her description, I'm bad at math. Her name was Makita Rivas, or is Makita Rivas. I guess if you're not on Twitter anymore, you don't exist, right? But she's still on Twitter. She's just protected her tweets so you can't see them. So you've got someone who writes bylines for the Washington Post. You have an editor for the New York Times, and you have a nightly news anchor. All of them are telling you that Bloomberg could have given everybody $1 million and getting you mad at the rich. Now, I don't like Bloomberg, but this phony posturing has got to go, man. They're ruining society for ratings. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, oh, but that was a mistake that was put on air. You think that that got by every editor and every producer and every production assistant and everybody who went from the moment that someone dreamed up the story to putting it on air and nobody caught it? I don't believe that at all. Now you're the conspiracy theorist if you think that. And I have on-air proof that Brian Williams knew what he was doing. Listen to this. He says, don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. In other words, if you know this is a phony story, then just dummy up. Don't say anything, because this is a good agenda that we've got going here. All right, here's the clip.
But you see it as a possibility. If he wants to spend $1 billion beating this guy, he could do it.
Absolutely. Somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million.
I've got it. Let's put it up on the screen. When I read it, tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads, U.S. population 327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It's an incredible way of putting it. It's true. It's disturbing. It does suggest, you know, what we're talking about here, which is there's too much money in politics. And it makes it difficult because what we want.
So that was MSNBC's Brian Williams and Mara Gay up there just telling you BS to your face and catching it on air. So did you hear Brian Williams say, now don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math? That wasn't in the tweet. He said it real fast, but he knew that that was incorrect, and he kept on going with the story. He caught it on air and knew that you knew, and kept on talking about it. And then Mara Gay comes up there and she says, it's true. It's true. By my saying that it's true, you're going to believe me even if your lion eyes are telling you different. How much of a piece of garbage do you have to be that you can wake up every morning and look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, I'm going to go out and mislead the public? You know, it's beyond the point where you think that these people are stupid. They are lying to you, and they're also probably stupid, but I'm